The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. After Jesus had finished teaching the disciples, John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched." The Gospel of the Lord. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Today's Gospel is a very rich one, with much teaching in it. Too much for one sermon, so you'll be happy to know I'm not going to try. Now, in order to appreciate the Gospel, as I've said to you before, you have to remember the first reading. Because when the church selected the readings some 30 years ago for the revision of the Mass, the church first chose the Gospels to be read in continuity. 1 year Mark, 1 year Matthew, 1 year Luke. And then readings from the Old Testament were chosen, the first reading of each Mass, to be paired with that Gospel so that we could understand how the Old Testament finds its fulfillment, its conclusion, in the New Testament. So that's a clue when you come to Mass on Sunday. If you expect that the sermon is going to be bad, of course that never happens here, remember the first reading and bring it together with the Gospel. Now, in the Gospel reading, Jesus has been teaching his disciples. Remember, the Sundays that have just gone before are the events that have led up to this one. Jesus has said to them, "If anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." He's predicted his passion and his resurrection. And now, as he is teaching the apostles, that inner circle of 12, St. John, who is his closest friend among the 12, St. John is the disciple whom Jesus loved, as he is known in the church. He is the best friend of Christ, says to him, "We met a man who is an exorcist, and he was casting out demons in your name, but he's not one of us. So we told him to stop." Now, in the time of Christ, there were many physicians and magicians who aided people with various kinds of illness. And because many illnesses were attributed to the devil or to the work of devils, there were exorcists among them. Some of these people were sincere, and some of them were frauds. Some of them were interested in making money, and some of them did what they did out of a genuine concern for their fellow men, and believing that they themselves had some power. So this man, who is not a disciple, has been using the name of Jesus in his prayers, and he has succeeded in casting out devils. But John and the others are angry at him. Why? Because he does not follow us. Well, just a short time ago, Jesus had said to his disciples that they must follow after him. He didn't mention an us. You see, the apostles have put themselves into the center. This man is not one of them. He doesn't owe his allegiance or his obedience to us, the apostles. Therefore, we've told him no. What is Jesus' answer? Jesus does not try to exclude the man, but include him. He says, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us." Now, think of the first reading. God has called Moses to bring 70 men, leaders of the people, to the meeting tent where the Ten Commandments are being kept and enshrined in a kind of a chapel as the chosen people cross the desert to the promised land. And God promises that when the 70 come to the chapel, he will pour out his power upon them. So the group comes, and God, in fact, bestows on them his gifts and his graces. And they start to speak and to do marvelous things. But there are two men who were supposed to be there, and for some reason they were not present. But nonetheless, the Spirit of God touches them, and they begin to perform the same miracles and speak in the same way. And Joshua, who is Moses' right-hand man, says to Moses, "You've got to stop this. They shouldn't be doing this." And Moses says, "Why? Are you jealous? Don't be jealous on my account. God can do what he wants. God has given them this gift. Be happy. It's God's power, not yours and not mine." So you see, it's the same lesson that Moses teaches in the Old Testament, Jesus is teaching in the New. But of course, when our Lord teaches the lesson, he is completing, he's adding to what happened before. So he begins to speak. Now, the passage that follows tells us of the reward that will be given to someone who shows even a small act of kindness to the disciples because of the name of Jesus. God will reward, not to repay, not as if we're owed a recompense, but out of his goodness and his love. And our Lord wants the disciples to understand this so that they become men of generosity, so that they become men of peace, so that they attract as many as possible to Christ. He tells them, too, that they must care for the little ones. Now, in this passage, little ones doesn't mean children. It means those who have only a little faith, or those who are despised, those who are on the outskirts of society. He says, never make it more difficult for them to believe. And be on your guard against all temptation. If you find in yourself a source of temptation, end it. If you find in yourself an inclination to commit a sin, address it. Now, he uses the language of his times. If your eye causes you to sin, pull it out. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. The next time that you get into an argument with a fundamentalist evangelical friend of yours, refer to this passage. No one takes it literally. If we did, there would be a lot more one-eyed, one-armed, and one-footed Christians in the world. Of course, some of us Catholics would lose both eyes and both feet, but that's another story. But our Lord is telling us here that we must be relentless against sin and eager to grow in generosity. That's the point of the passage. And he also includes the truth that hell is an option. If we don't live in this way, hell is an option. Why? Because if we don't choose Christ, we will choose something else. If we don't say, "Thy will be done," we will say, "My will be done." And in so doing, we destroy our humanity. We become arrogant and selfish and proud. We manipulate, we use, and we oppress, all for the sake of our own selfishness. Now, this gospel passage is extremely timely because of the visit of our Holy Father to the United States. And for the last 6 days, today is the last day of his stay, the news media and all the television stations have been filled with constant coverage of the Pope. And what is it that is said over and over again about him? He's so inclusive. He doesn't exclude anyone. He's so welcoming. Now, has Pope Francis invented this new attitude of the Church? Not at all. It is the attitude of our Blessed Lord, and yes, it is the attitude of his predecessors. The news media have short memories when it comes to good things and long memories when it comes to bad things. But Pope Francis has succeeded in communicating in a wonderful way this love, this welcoming spirit, this generosity. So it has been a moment of grace for the Church, and a moment of grace for people who are hungry for the message of the gospel, for the living bread which is Christ. I'm sure that you know this yourselves. There are many people who report that friends at work and so on say to Catholics, "I'm not Catholic, but I like your Pope. I like this Pope." Over and over again, those are the reports that people have. And so this is a good time to say to ourselves, don't mess it up. Live up to him. In your attitude towards others, in your charity, in being non-judgmental. That doesn't mean that right and wrong have changed. That means that we have to do a better job in teaching what is good and true and beautiful and attractive, so that those who are the little ones whom Christ mentions, who do not have a firm faith, who do not have a foundation of experience of the gospel, and who perhaps have been hurt many times in their lives, may not be rejected, but welcomed, attracted, not repelled. That is your job, not just mine. You must make the faith attractive by the way in which you live it. Christ has made you light in his world. And so when we come to Sunday Mass, one of the things that we have to pray for is to be light in this way. Lord, help me to live a good life and a faithful life so that I make it easier for others to believe in you. Not more difficult. Help me to live up to all of the gifts and the blessings that you give me so that my life invites others to come closer. And my way of being faithful can quietly, simply, sincerely influence others to the good. Certainly, parents have to pray in that way every day. But we all have to pray in that way because our influence extends outside the home. Our influence extends to people who might meet us only once, but nonetheless are affected by us. So as we listen to the words of today's reading and reflect on the signs of the times, the accounts of Pope Francis' visit, and the circumstances of our own life, we have much to pray about, to think over, and to pray for in this Mass and in our daily prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.